Yesterday, we have talked about almsgiving, or simply translate as giving prajnaparamita. Giving prajnaparamita. And the first type of giving is translated as material, but in Chinese word, that doesn't mean material. It can be considered as inner giving or and outer giving. So the better translation would be giving. The inner giving is associated with the physical part. The outer giving is things outside your body, like your money or everything else. The inner giving can be such as donate your eyes just before a person that passed away. You donate eyes to help others. Or use your physical strength and do volunteer work without charge a fee. That is considered inner giving, which you do it through your physical contribution. Average people does a lot of things, but due to they have no realization, they have not turned their mind around. So those activities may be helping others, but not truly a Bodhisattva's path or practice. If you do things with the realization of helping others, with this realization, then everything you do become good. Everything you do is for yourself, although you may be helping others on a service, but it's still coming out from the confused mind, from the egoistic self, and no matter how good things you are doing on the surface, it is considered bad. The reason sentient beings cannot become Buddha is due to two kinds of attachment. Attachment to self and attachment to the Dharma. Attachment to self, if that can be cut off completely, then one reach Arahanthood. One becomes Arahant. If one does a lot of things, maybe looking good on the surface, but every single thought behind your activities, that motivation is for oneself, then we are increasing egoistic self. If one truly want to get out of the samsara, then every single thought must be in the direction of decreasing the egoistic self, and eventually cut it off completely. The next attachment also makes sentient beings unable to become Buddha is because attachment to the Dharma. So generally speaking, attachment to the Dharma is the obstacle of knowledge. Attachment to the self is the cause of vexation. The second type of giving is Dharma giving, or giving the Dharma, which for the broader sense means teaching of sentient beings of everything, and not just teach sutra to sentient beings. The teaching or giving can be categorized into giving the knowledge on the worldly things, or giving the trans-worldly things, spiritual knowledge, such as Buddhism. So, these two types of giving is teach sentient beings to obtain worldly knowledge or to obtain spiritual knowledge for liberation. When one person teach other people to do how to cook, it is also belong to this giving paramita. If you teach people, students in elementary school, or you teach people of all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of technical skill, that's all considered as offering of the Dharma teachings in a broader sense. But the true offering must not correspond to, must not have any anticipation of reward. Now the question is, if somebody teach in elementary school, do receive monthly salary, is that almsgiving in providing teaching and still the Dharma type of teaching, giving? The answer is, if you do that for the sake of a salary, then it's not Dharma giving. If you do that for the sake of benefit the students, then it is Dharma giving. Because if your motivation is to obtain salary, then you can be tired when a salary is not increased high enough to your expectation. But if your purpose is too late to teach the younger generation, then you will become very diligent and also enjoy your work in teaching. Then, since your motivation is different, then you are truly giving, performing the teaching or giving paramita. Bodhisattvas are teaching sentient beings out of infinite compassionate mind. And in Dharma, Mahayana Buddhism, it said, among all teachings, the highest teaching is the Dharma teaching. To teach sentient beings about Dharma. Because with this kind of teaching, sentient beings can get out of samsara, obtain supreme wisdom, and even Buddhahood. Therefore, this kind of teaching, giving, becomes the highest. And therefore, the great Bodhisattva, when they perform this kind of teaching, is highly praised by all Buddhas. That's why, in our centers, we provide all kinds of teachings free of charge. The videotapes, audio tapes, and sometimes itinerary tool, traveling around from one place to another to provide Dharma teaching at no cost. But if those books or videotapes are provided to people with a price or with the label saying there is copyright, one cannot duplicate, then it is not the Dharma type of teaching or giving. It is pure business activity. Or if a teacher, before he was invited to a place for providing Dharma teaching, he asked about what kind of reward, how much you're going to pay me for how long my provided teaching, then it is not Dharma giving. The true Bodhisattva will come when the sentient beings are truly hungry for the spiritual knowledge, namely the Dharma. He may even pay for his own traveling expenses just to come provide teaching to sentient beings. Never ask for a reward. The third type of giving is called giving of fearlessness to beings, which means to help sentient beings remove their fear and to restore peace of the body and the mind. For example, one nation want to attack the other nation. The other nation, everyone of the other nation to be attacked, very panic. And then somebody volunteered to become a soldier and fight to defend for their own country. Then volunteer to become a soldier is this type of giving, to provide fearlessness to his countrymen. Or, for example, to walk in the darkness at night, people may be scared of bandits or any unexpected trouble. If you volunteer to escort them and walk in the darkness together, that is also this type of giving, giving of fearlessness to people. So basically, there are many examples As long as you can help beings away from fear and restore their physical and mental peace and harmony, that is a giving of fearlessness. And the consequence or karmic result of this type of giving is long life and good health. And now I'd like to point out particularly one situation. To be a full vegetarian, no eating of meat, it is giving of fearlessness. Why? Because all sentient beings see you, particularly animals, they have no fear about you. Because you have no intention to eat any meat. You have no intention of killing, even indirectly. That is giving of fearlessness. That means how important to be a vegetarian. So, in conclusion, for this subject of giving of the Dharma teaching, one will obtain the result, karmic result, of wisdom and prajna. Giving of wealth, the inner wealth and outer wealth together, the result is you will become very wealthy. And then Dharma fearless giving, we have mentioned that already, is to obtain health and longevity. In the Chinese history, the best example, a person who has obtained the best of three types of giving and its best result, is Emperor Qianlong of Qing Dynasty. Because talking about the wealth, he owns the whole country, the mainland China. Talking about the wisdom, he's very smart and wise. Talking about health and longevity, he lived 60 years as emperor. And even after he retired, he still became the father of the emperor for another 4 years. So even he said, I'm the rare emperor even in the history of China. And he was the person that truly practiced three types of givings. The wealth giving, the Dharma giving, or teaching giving, and the fearlessness giving. Therefore, the karmic consequence is inconceivable. In Mahayana Buddhism, oftentimes mentioned, Bodhisattvas must practice the six Prajnaparamita. The Prajnaparamita means, paramita. Practice six items to paramita state. Paramita means complete, perfect state. And we have discussed so far, from morning till night, we can do all kinds of activities. We are actually providing services, giving. But without realization and understanding, it is not truly corresponding to the true meaning of giving. If one realizes the purpose and the meaning of giving, then all your daily activities and services becomes Dharma practice. Because in Chinese word, giving, after giving, there's another word followed, that's obtaining or receiving. If you can give a little bit, you will receive something back. You give more, you receive more. You completely give out, you completely obtain. On the other hand, if you do not give, you will not gain anything. Now I ask you, do you have vexations? Do you like to give that out? Do you have worries and fear and infinite life and cycle of life and death called reincarnation? Do you like to give that out? That's also giving. If one can give out these things completely, then that giving has reached a perfect state. It's called giving paramita. And only then, the pure mind, the self nature will then come to its perfect state. The second paramita is precept observing paramita. Although literally it says precept observing, actually it means in a broader sense, obey all rules and regulations. Because for small matters and things, there are small rules and regulations. For big matter and big things, there are big rules and regulations that one needs to follow. Without rules and regulations, then things cannot be done successfully or effectively. Even for a family, there must be some rules for the family. The rules between the husband and wife's relationship, the rule between brother and sister, and the rule between older generation and younger generation for their proper relationship. It must not be reversed. Even for a simple case like cooking in the kitchen, one must first wash the rice and then cook to a certain degree of temperature. It must have a certain rule and procedure. To practice Buddha Dharma and wish to become Buddha, the rules are even more subtle and more strict. One needs to follow the proper sequence without reverse. In the four great vows, the first one is vow to save all sentient beings. That's the first one in practicing Buddha Dharma, the beginning stage. And then the next sequence is in order to save all sentient beings, we must save ourselves first by cutting off vexations completely. So that comes the second vow. And the third vow, in order to save all sentient beings, you need to know all dhammas. Therefore, vow to learn all dhamma. And then the result is vow to obtain supreme Buddhahood. Only when you truly reach the supreme enlightened stage, then you can come back and save all sentient beings and fulfill your first vow among the four great vows. Without achieve the Buddhahood, to save all sentient beings, it's just an empty wish. The Bodhisattva, you may ask, they can save sentient beings. Why do they have to become a Buddha? Well, no matter how high a level Bodhisattva is, he can save all beings below his level, not to his level, and not definitely the level above him, such as Buddha. Only when one becomes Buddha, then one has capability to even save the Bodhisattva of the highest level and all nine different categories, all the way down to the sentient beings of hell. If one truly generate the great vow to save all sentient beings from the bottom of the heart, then one will have compassionate mind comes out, and then one will be able to diligently practice Buddha Dharma in the spiritual path. But today, many people, they have interest in Buddhism. They also try to generate great vow. But they have, in their great vow, a mind of discrimination. They like this, they don't like that person. They think this is right, that is wrong. And therefore, for those person, the great vow stated like this: I vow to save sentient beings all, except Mr. So-and-so. You see, that's not a great vow. In the classification of Bodhisattva, the beginning stage of Bodhisattva truly generate great vows, truly want to save all beings unconditionally, without exception. And that, therefore, they have tremendous spiritual power when the true mind comes out to save all beings. The precept observing paramita is based upon compassion and applied through method and expediences. It has to be applied in a very proper manner, because there are many methods, many ways to express it. Need to be expressed and conducted in a very proper manner. And therefore, the methods are numerous. The six paramitas are the six major items. Among each one of them, there are numerous methods to apply them effectively in all conditions, all situations, with all beings. A Bodhisattva knows how to skillfully apply the methods, and the methods are infinite. It all comes from the wisdom. The endurance paramita, the Chinese translation in Chinese, is actually translated from Sanskrit as insult, enduring insult, paramita. The translator in ancient time must know the Chinese people's weaknesses in their characters. That is, there's a Chinese statement, famous, which says, a gentleman can be killed with head chopped off, but will not take no insult. That translator must know Chinese people's characteristic. So he translates this paramita as insult enduring paramita. In original meaning in the Sanskrit, basically says endurance or patience. But to Chinese people, the translation becomes insult enduring paramita. That to try to teach Chinese, even insult must be able to withstand. And therefore, what else can you not withstand? For little things, little insult, you need a little bit of patience. For great insults, you need a great patience. Everything in the Diamond Sutra says, come to accomplish, reach its achievement due to patience. In order to graduate from college and obtain BS degree, you must be patient for 4 years, otherwise you cannot graduate. In order to learn Buddha Dharma, like tonight, you must be patient for 2 hours, otherwise you won't obtain the spiritual knowledge. So success belongs to those who have patience and perseverance. And that's why in the Buddhism Sutra, among the six paramita, the giving paramita and insult enduring paramita were discussed numerous times when compared with discussion to other paramitas. Because giving and patience are the key for spiritual achievement. The patience paramita. To deal with a matter or things, it's difficult. Try to accomplish something successfully is not easy. But to deal with people in human relationship is even more difficult. And today, it's even much more difficult to deal with other people in today's society. That's because today's education is to teach people skills, and not to teach people how to behave, how to become a good person. And therefore, to deal with today's people become extremely difficult. The patience paramita covers three aspects. The first one is patience with people's persecution or insult. If you can take it with patience, then your mind will be pure. When the mind is pure, then the mind can calm down or enter into samadhi. The second one is to be patient with external factors such as high temperature, cold temperature, hunger, all natural disasters, which is the impact on the environment and not from human beings. And one need to be patient, have patience with the natural factors from external. The third patience is in the area of Dharma practice. Before one obtain the joy and the peace of Dharma practice, one need to be very patient. It is actually boring and maybe even a little bit boring or or just not unpleasant before you obtain the Dharma joy. But once you have practiced long enough, then the joy from Dharma will come, and it's very pleasant. This is like try to find a highway. When you first drive around local, you got to be patient, stop and go before traffic lights. And then when you find the highway, it's very peace, very smooth. To practice Buddha Dharma in the beginning is difficult. One need to search one's way around to find the best one, the best method. Takes many years to find the right one. And stay firm to this method and eventually get a peace and joy out of this method. Some people are very lucky. They find the right method and then enjoy, they get peace from Dharma practice right away. Some people take 3 to 5 years to find the right Dharma practice and enjoy the peace from the practice. Some people takes all their lifetimes still searching and not able to find the proper Dharma method. This, of course, has something to do with that individual's good karmic root in the Dharma and personal virtues of previous life. But if you are sincere in searching the truth and the proper method toward enlightenment, then the proper condition will come, because Bodhisattva, with great compassion, will make the proper condition come and make you realize the proper method, and you will be happy, enjoy your practice, and achieve good results. But why it seems that Bodhisattva not coming to give us guidance, point out the proper method to us, so we don't have to search around? It is because our mind is not settled. Even Buddha or Bodhisattva appear and tell us something, we still try to argue and negotiate. Therefore, Bodhisattva just cannot come because you are not ready. So one needs to be patient, even in searching. With proper patience, then one can eventually develop diligence. With diligence, then the spiritual achievement will come. The next paramita is diligence. Paramita of diligence means making progress in a daily basis. Confucius said basically the same thing. Every day one should make progress. But some people criticize Confucianism and Buddhism are pretty backward. They did not know the teaching or the philosophy of Confucianism and Buddhism. But those two are really dealing with diligent cultivation. They request daily progress. Diligence in Chinese combined consists of two words. The first word means pure and not mixed. The second word means progress and not backward. For today's scientific achievement made by the scientists, it is also due to their hard working and daily diligence. Without that, the scientific creation of invention cannot be happened. Buddha Dharma are likewise, and in practice Buddha Dharma, one need to pick up one method only, and diligent in pursuing this method, until one reach enlightenment. When the mind is enlightened, then one can move on to study other methods or schools' teachings and will be well versed in other methods quickly, because when one is completely, thoroughly realized, then all Dharma can be fully realized. If one do not follow the prior diligence and practice many methods at the same time, then one will not achieve spiritual achievement. I'd like to tell you a true story. In the 1900s in China,
a famous teacher called Venerable Dixian, he has a disciple, monk, who left home become a monk at middle age, 40, 50, some, in that time, that age. He was an old friend of Venerable Dixian in the countryside. But Dixian